Hi, this is Ben Eastman.
I'm Jeff Crenshaw.
And I'm Alan Burrell.
Thank Christ!
And this is...
Thank Christ!
Oh.
Let's go!
I screwed that one up. My bad. No. I thought we were on a new podcast called Thank Christ.
Oh.
That would be...
Someone get Eastman a dunce cap.
Aw. I used to wear a dunce cap in grade school.
You still do, but it can't fit on your head in the car.
The worst...
He hasn't figured that out yet, though.
The worst part is... Someone told me this is a true story. Someone told me a dunce cap meant that you were a cool person when I was in grade school.
Ha!
So I made a cap and wrote dunce, and I misspelled dunce.
Oh, my D-U-N-T-S, God.
D-U-N-T-S.
That's great.
And I wore it. And then the teacher was like, why are you wearing a dunce cap? And I said, because I'm a cool dude or something. I don't know what I said. And then she took it off and put me in a timeout. She put me in a timeout!
Oh, is this story true?
Yes, 100%. Fourth grade, Mrs. Plant. I remember it.
Mrs. Plant?
Yeah, Mrs. Plant was her name.
She related to Robert Plant?
No, she was not.
There's probably lots of plants in the world.
That was also, coincidentally, the first time I'd ever felt an earthquake, and that was in school. Mrs. Plant was not present. Her substitute was there.
Someone help! My dunce cap's going to fall off.
All right.
And now you feel them every day.
Yeah, well.
I saw something interesting.
When Jeff walks into the room.
I saw something interesting.
Oh, look, it's Shia LaBeouf.
No, it's just him getting arrested. What were you saying, Jeff?
Your stomach's showing.
Is it? Oh, damn it.
I wasn't bothered by it.
Why did you have to say that on the podcast?
That's
like, they need to know that my washboard abs...
I love when I'm on set and we do takes where, like, it was really... Okay, Al, it was really good, but your crack was showing. And we don't want to embarrass you. So let's do it again. And then we do it again. Still seeing crack, all right? If we could just... let's tuck the shirt in. We could do it again. Let's do it again.
All right, Alan, that's too much crack. What?
Not enough crack, Alan.
We shouldn't be doing crack.
Jerry Bell Jr. posted a video. It was like a montage of the...
Indie Film Awards, yeah.
And I swear to God, I saw you walking on stage with a trophy.
You did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was me.
So, did you wear?
What's the story?
No.
What's the story of that?
The story of that is...
You're the presenter?
Is, in fact, Jason Rosenblatt won for Best Screenplay for Vicious.
Oh, wow.
And he had contacted me beforehand and asked me if I would receive it because he wasn't going to be there.
Oh, wow. So, Myra's in Vicious.
Is she?
Yeah.
I saw Vicious. I'm trying to place her. But...
She played Bill's mom.
The second time she's played Bill's mom. Interesting. She loves getting cast as literally the character of Bill's mom. She's done it twice.
I've actually written a character for her named Bill's mom.
Yeah.
Just because of that.
So you can get her in three times. Might as well. Sometimes you just run with it.
I honestly hope this, like, persists for the rest of her career, that every year or so she has, like, one character named Bill's mom. But you accepted a trophy for Rosenblatt.
Yeah.
And that was it? Did you give, like, an acceptance speech?
Actually, the speech went over well. So the Willamette Week was in the back.
Yeah.
And they come, as the winners left, they brought him upstairs to interview him. And so the guy from Willamette Week, I walked down after giving the speech... And then he's like, hey, come upstairs. And I'm like, no, I didn't win. Just getting it for a friend. And he's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Come upstairs. And then the interview was just terrible. I was like a 10-year-old kid, like, waving the trophy. Like, I'm terrible in interviews. It was hilarious.
But were they like...
But then Jason showed up, and we did kind of a double interview.
Were they like a weird interviewer? Like, were they kind of quirky?
No, he was
Willamette Weekly is kind of a quirky...
He's a quirky guy.
Okay,
but he seemed like a nice dude.
They didn't do it in, like, a weird format or anything like that? Ask you any weird-ass questions or something?
I don't remember. I might have been just too inside my head. It's like, in interviews, I'm like...
Too self-conscious.
I'm like Will Ferrell from the race car movie. What is that?
Talladega Nights,
where he's, like, kind can't of move his hands.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what to do with his hands. That's like how I am in interviews.
I know. I'm not very good at being interviewed either because I don't, like, literally right now, I don't know what I'm saying. But, like, I heard one of the only times I ever got interviewed that was, like, actually, like, released was when we got interviewed after we saw Conan O'Brien's first show.
Oh,
after
right.
After he had left the Tonight Show, he did that tour, and the first stop was in Eugene, and we had tickets to go see it.
We're in the documentary.
We're actually in the documentary, Conan O'Brien Can't Stop. You can actually see us. It's hilarious. I look so much skinnier. But we got interviewed by NPR after the show. And they interviewed, and I didn't remember what I had said until Jeff's dad, like, posted, like, hey, I heard you on NPR this morning. And we were like, what, NPR? Like, I guess I had forgotten that NPR had interviewed. I knew someone interviewed, but I didn't know it was NPR or something.
That's funny.
And we somehow found the clip that had it, and we have it somewhere. I think I have it. I found it.
I have it on my drive, and it's at the end of the Conan O'Brien video that you made.
Oh, yeah, I forgot I put it in there. And... like, it's like, all right, and we spoke with some of the audience members, including Ben Eastman, who gushed about the performance. And it cut to me, and you hear me, I'm like, out of breath, and I'm like, yeah, well, it was like the best time of my life. Like, and yes. it was something like, yeah, if that could have gone on for 24 hours, I would have stayed, no breaks, no anything. And that's the quote that they used on NPR, like national NPR. I'm like, yeah.
Oh my god!
I was like, wow, that people heard that all over the country. Yeah. I was like, god dang it.
Hey, I got out pretty well. They didn't use my interview. I don't remember what I said, but although Ben and I were both on the local Eugene news. Do you remember that? There was the newscaster, the news camera guy, and the interviewer. She asked me, what was it like seeing Conan O'Brien? I was like, it was magnificent. It was like seeing the Lincoln Memorial.
Okay, I do remember that.
Did they use that, though?
They did. Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's why...
That's so funny.
It is funny.
Was it like a clip that we had found? I'm kind of like vaguely remembering. Was there a clip that was the interview?
That was a news story online. They posted it to their website. Wow. But the thing is, those local news websites don't have, like, a huge archive. They just, like, after a certain amount of time, they will take stuff off the site. And long gone, sadly. But,
And we thought we were going to be famous because we were interviewed by the local news.
Sadly.
Perfect transition into today's topic.
Okay.
For the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Which means it's a non-transition. But today, we are gathered here. So, perfect segue into our topic for today's podcast, including myself, Jeffrey Crenshaw II, and Alan.
I'm James Harden.
Alan Edward Burrell, star of Truffle Runners.
Today's topic is the 10 worst films of all time. Or... the 10 worst films, in our opinions. Which means it's fact.
Also, we made this disclaimer when we did the 10 best films, but I'd like to say that this list, for me, could change at any moment, so this is just right now.
I want to say this is the hardest list I've ever had to make.
I didn't even write anything.
Well, hey, at least...
Alan likes to come prepared.
At least two of us came prepared.
Actually, I don't think I was even part of the discussion of this. I should have spoke up and voted for a different category.
We offered you a chance to, but you said, you guys pick it, and I'll go along with it and make my list. We can't always do
top 10 lasagnas, Alan.
You know, I like the eggplant lasagna.
Yeah,
it's good.
Stouffer's is the number two for sure.
No, it's like Figaro's lasagna is really good.
Ooh.
Figaro's lasagna. I thought they only have taco pizza.
What the hell is taco pizza?
Oh, I'm thinking Godfather's. Taco pizza. I got Figaro's and Godfather's mixed up.
Godfather's has great taco pizza.
Okay. Well, look, we're talking about pizza, we're talking about lasagna. Let's get back on track. Worst movies ever. So,
do we go 1 to 10 or 10 to 1?
I think we should probably do 10 to 1.
Okay.
But we will say, I will say, this was really hard. Like, I Googled the F out of movies because I couldn't really come up with a list off the top of my head. But, boy oh boy, when I Googled, I found the Holy Grail. Okay.
These are just what I could come up with at the moment.
I'm going to use my phone, too.
Because I'm sure there's stuff that I can't remember that will come to my mind
later.
Alan,
you just chime in whenever you feel like there's a film you just have to talk about.
Okay.
So, do you want to go first? Or
Sure. Okay. I'll go first. Number 10, worst film of all time for me. Now, this is probably the most recent film on the list to come out. Sausage Party.
Oh, what? Oh, and, now I feel bad I don't have that on my list. That is a piece of shit.
Sausage Party, and I... It's not that I was particularly excited to see, but I had heard good things about it, so I was curious to see how that played out. Man, and, okay, I probably laughed twice in it, but it was so mean-spirited and, like, overly crass just for the reason of being crass that it comes off as just, like, I don't know. It just did not work for me at all. And I, you know, I'll be the first to say, I mean... I think some
that of, group of guys have done.
Oh yeah, there's some great movies. I mean, I can think of one recently. This Is the End. I thought was pretty damn hilarious. Awesome. Mm-hmm. But Sausage Party just was not cutting it for me, and I was
that douche character was the worst.
I was offended. I've ever seen. I don't really get offended at shit at all, hardly. Oh, yeah. But I like there was a particular scene when I watched that I was literally disgusted. I feel weird saying that because that's just not. But I don't know. That movie just did not sit well with me. And I really did not enjoy it. And that's number 10 on my list.
It's Sausage Party. I two moments I laughed at that movie. Or they weren't even things that happened. They were things that were in the movie.
Characters.
One, the Woody Allen bagel.
Yeah.
I'm a bagel. Making Woody Allen the quintessential Jew.
Yeah.
I thought was hilarious.
I laughed through some of it, but I feel like I went, yeah. I was also half there, too.
I
was fully there, and just not digging it at all.
I fucking hated it. But the other thing that made me laugh was the chewed up piece of gum that they made made into Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, that was pretty damn funny.
Like, he looks all mangled, so, because he's been chewed, and his face kind of looks like Hawking's. Yeah. Fucking horrible Sausage Party movie. Should I go next?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, this one offended me. When I saw it, I was shocked and appalled and aghast when I saw it. I was watching it on the screen and I couldn't believe
that people... Oh, it's Mystery Squad, isn't it?
Well, fuck you. You just ruined it.
Damn it!
No.
I'm sorry, world.
No. That film was the piss. just kidding. No, but... I couldn't believe what I was watching. It was the most... Well, it's not the most offensive, because there's more offensive higher. By the time, it was the most offensive movie I'd ever seen. And what made it worse is it was shown in my history class. And what made it worse is it won an Oscar. And what made it worse is it was about the Holocaust. Life is beautiful.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Basically, they take this farcical comedy film, throw it into the Holocaust, and they try, which I think it's risky, but if you're honest about what you're doing, go forth with caution. This film isn't honest about it, because they take this farcical, we're about to be exterminated movie, and they hide it with, they try and patch it up with this veneer of a father protecting his son from the horrors of war by being Patch Adams in the midst of the Holocaust. Patch Adams and the Holocaust are two things that don't go together. And when I was watching it, I was looking around, I was like, am I the only one? And by the way, this might seem like a direct attack on Alan, because this is one of his favorite movies. I'm sorry, I disagree with you.
Oh shit! It is one of your favorites.
I am not offended.
I love you dearly,
but I do completely disagree with.
Oh,
you.
I didn't know that was one of your favorite movies.
It's, whoa! I'm not doing this isn't because it's one of his favorites. It's just one that I happened to think of because this was a hard list to write. If I could think of every bad movie I've seen, would it be on the list? Probably not, honestly. But this is one that just offended the living shit out of me. It's basically, it's a Farsi Holocaust movie, and the tone didn't match the subject matter, which was uncomfortable enough.
Good time to eat crust.
which was difficult enough to endure. But if they had been honest about what they were doing, like, look, we're going to throw shit at the Holocaust, we're going to have some fun with it. No, they throw on this inspirational music and they justify the farciness of it by tying in this daddy son relationship story.
You really hate this movie.
Mm-hmm. It felt like a disingenuous way to make excuses for themselves for making fun of one of the worst fucking things that's ever happened in
history. I've only ever, attempted to see it once, and I just thought it was boring, but that's been years. this was years ago, so I don't really have a strong opinion either way. But.
And there's... And I'll let Alan stand up for after I just did this huge verbal assault, because I feel bad, because I feel like when you attack a film that you know one of your friends loves, it's kind of like attacking them personally, and I don't want that to be...
Oh, grow a pair of balls, Jeff. It's not that big of a deal. It's just a movie. I will say this.
I see what you're saying, but I also agree it's just a movie. I mean, and everybody's going to be different about it.
Yeah.
I mean, Alan, I think the only reason you really love it is because you saw Roberto Benigni step on the backs of chairs as he walked up to receive his Oscar, which is like one of the biggest Oscar moments ever. And you probably thought, wow, that's cool.
Wait, he did that?
Yeah, that was like the whole thing. Wow. He got up in his seat and he walked on the backs of chairs.
Wow.
Roberto Benigni.
I don't know how the hell someone does that, but...
So why am I wrong?
Well,
why is my opinion...
I feel like you're overcomplicating it. I feel like it's a movie about something in particular. Being a hero, I guess you could say. The dad represents what that... he knows his fucking kid's, going through this, and he's trying to put himself in this. I'm not going to go into that, but I feel like it's not about all that. I mean, maybe you're coming at it from a filmmaking perspective, and I'm coming at it from just a viewer who sees this beautiful relationship, this man who's willing to sacrifice his fucking emotions and his, depression because he's got a kid. His kid's more important than whatever's going on. It doesn't matter. There's always going to be fucking, also, I think back then, people lived with more of a repressed, mindset, mentality. So maybe he had, maybe people were more, like, war... The fact they were going to be exterminated,
yeah.
Maybe it wasn't... yeah, it was terrible. It was terrifying, but...
I can actually see...
I don't know.
I can see both of your opinions. Now, I haven't really given it a watch in a long time. But now that I've seen both of your lenses, I'd like to give it a shot myself.
I do see where he's coming from, with that, and I've always kind of seen that perspective. But my own perspective, it depends on how you internalize it. And it wasn't necessarily my perspective as a filmmaker. It felt like a breach of good taste that they were trying to use this inspirational angle.
It makes me curious of how the premise was conceived, how it happened.
Yeah.
I was sitting around thinking about it. Was it, you never know. Was it a Jewish man who, had relatives in the Holocaust and he was trying to show light on, how they could have been positive so that it's not all, I don't know.
Interesting.
But number 10, there you go.
What's your number 10?
I don't have a number 10.
No, you haven't conjured up a bad movie yet?
Well,
you know what? We'll continue going. We've got our list set. And if you chime in with one, let's let us know.
Okay. How about any bad movie? Just name one and why do you hate any movie you hate? I'm sure you remember one.
It's so hard because I remember movies I love. I really...
Well, yeah, bad movies can be forgettable. Sometimes they can't. But
I watch them all the time. I just watched one the other day.
Some of the worst movies ever.
The last movie I watched was Train to Busan, which was fucking awesome. So I can't say.
Never.
Is that the one where
Train to Busan?
The entire train is the world is frozen.
That's Snowpiercer.
Oh, okay.
My number 10. Snowpiercer.
I've heard.
Thank you.
Very yeah. different things. I've heard people that think it's their like one of their best films and yeah. one of their worst films.
Defend your position.
Oh man!
Thank wow.
you. You're welcome.
Look at that. See, we knew we'd conjure up one out of you. Whew. Snowpiercer. Wow.
I feel like I just fulfilled my greatest accomplishment ever.
I don't have much to say about it. I need to watch it again. But this is my feeling when I watched it: was that there was just no for a movie that has this chance to move very fluidly, like through the train and show, you know, glide from world to world. There's no flow to it for me. I was never connected to the characters. Mm. I mean, it was a bunch of cool stuff happening. I feel like the art director deserves, you know, an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't get on board.
So it was a writing issue.
That wow, that was a good pun.
I think it was a...
Couldn't get aboard.
I don't know.
So, was, you know, was it a writing issue?
I don't even think so, because there's not... I don't know. I really should have... I should watch it again, but I remember feeling that when I watched it.
I have plenty of ones like that on my list, so don't worry about that.
I think...
I think of more, I can come back to it, but...
I think that guy just made a movie that I just saw that was really good on Netflix.
Oh, really?
What's it? God, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's OKJA. I think it's called Okja.
Okja.
Yeah, I think that guy made that one.
I want to see that so bad.
Yeah, well, like
the monster that...
The monster?
The town...
What is it?
Well, it's like
it's this little Korean girl.
Yeah, this little Korean girl. This like company makes these pigs. Like, they're genetically modified huge pigs.
They feed them and they grow them to be
so that they can sell their meat, because the world has a problem with producing enough food for people. So, but like, oh, and the movie is about as heavy-handed satire as you can get. Like, it is like full-on satire. But it's pretty good. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Wow. But
number 9 for me. This is a movie I haven't seen since theaters. And I will say I was 5 years old when I saw it.
Oh, wow.
So I still remember how I didn't like it.
So and then, maybe you'd like it now.
Well, apparently I wasn't the only one. But I remember my dad and I, we were going to go to theaters to see Jingle All the Way. That's not the movie.
Oh.
And most people hate Jingle All the Way. Jeff and I happen to absolutely love it.
Yeah, I love it.
Because it's turbo time, motherfucker. I'm your number one customer. But we were going to go. It was dad and Ben time. I remember this like it was yesterday. And we had gone to Portland. I think my mom went to go hang out with my grandmother. My dad and I were going to go to Portland. We were going to see Jingle All the Way. This is what we did. It was cool. Sure. Right? Jingle All the Way was not out yet. So dad, trying to be father of the year, was like, oh, shit, we're already here. Is there another Christmas movie we can see? And this was the movie that was out at the time. Santa with Muscles, starring Hulk Hogan. Okay?
Oh, I wish I'd seen
And I
it.
Love Hulk Hogan, not as an actor, clearly, except for when he's in, was that Rocky 2 or Rocky 3? That was Rocky 2, right?
I think that was Rocky 5, wasn't it? No, that was Rocky 2, I think. Because you mean the beginning.
Yeah, he's in the beginning.
Yeah.
He's great in that, but... Oh, man. Dude, even as a kid, I didn't even know the concept of a film being an actual, like thing. You know what? Actually, I have seen it since then, because I'm remembering it a little bit better than I probably should.
A dumpster fire.
It was bad. It was just felt like a total, made on the dirt cheap. Like, literally, the only reason it got made is because they paid probably Hulk Hogan too much to be in it.
Yeah.
And it was a vehicle to try to... one up the machoness that was, Schwarzenegger coming out with his film. Like, clearly it was trying to be like that head to head at that time. But I remember the film like looking so cheap.
I've never
being incredibly unfunny. Have you ever heard of it?
I've never heard of it.
Oh wow!
But that's the actual title.
Santa with Muscles.
That's the actual title.
That's the actual title.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Jingle All the Way, It's not anywhere near award worthy or anything anywhere near what I would call a great film. But it's one that Jingle All the Way is one I love. It, like, so many things in that movie, like everything in that movie makes it just fills me with joy. Maybe it's because I associate it with being a kid.
Dude, Phil Hartman knocks it out of the park in that movie.
Phil Hartman always knocks it out of the park, no matter, even if he's in a piece of shit. By the way, I fucking hate his wife. But even if he's in a piece of shit. For all you don't know, Phil Hartman was murdered by his wife. But even when he's in a piece of shit, he can make things.
Any person that murders Phil Hartman is a piece of shit.
Yeah, I agree.
Have but you ever seen Phil Hartman's audition for SNL? I mean, he's a kind of a piece of shit.
Phil Hartman?
I don't know if I've seen that.
He's like one of my heroes, and I still think he's kind of a piece of shit.
I would see a piece of
shit. No, he's not a piece of shit at all. I love Phil Hartman, but he did. He got to the point where he was, like, old, probably. He was, like, to the point where he was like, fuck, I've auditioned, you know. He didn't give a shit by the time he auditioned for that, it felt like.
Ha!
You said you saw that audition, right?
The SNL?
Yeah.
I don't know if... Maybe he didn't.
I mean,
give
he's
a shit.
So good, but he was just like, whatever.
It was effortless.
There we go. It was very effortless. Yeah.
But none of the current cast are fit to lick the bottom of his boots. Like Phil Hartman was a genius.
I agree.
Yeah, like him and Norm Macdonald.
Oh,
like,
God, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Love Norm.
Norm's great.
But
one of the best jokes I've ever heard is Norm Macdonald, and I remember telling it to you, and I don't remember it, but it had. Oh man.
I remember one I told to you.
Oh, Norm Macdonald joke?
Yeah.
What?
Really quick on Jingle All the Way, the scene with Jim Belushi and his gang of midget Santa Clauses, where Schwarzenegger just punches the midgets and kicks them in the fist.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I barely laugh to this day when I watch that. It's just a visceral thing, not an intellectual thing. All right, the Norm Macdonald joke. This is a long joke, maybe.
Oh, no, but,
No. You already got me into this. Don't fucking cut me off, you
damn
asshole.
It.
It's not that long. It'll maybe be about 5 minutes. All right.
Jesus.
Wait.
No, don't. Don't!
Can we hold off till the end?
No. Stop cutting me off, you fucking cocksucker. A frog walks into a bank. Oh, God, can we cut it till the end? A frog walks into the bank. It's for a loan. And he goes up to the cashier's window, and the cash, he notes the name tag, Patty. He's like, "Hey, Patty." Now he Ben remembers.
I know the joke. Yeah.
Hey, Patty.
As soon as he said frog.
I'm here. For a loan. And she's like, "Oh, what's your name?" "Kermit." "You're Kermit the Frog?" He's like, "No, I'm not Kermit the Frog. I'm Kermit Jagger." And she has this look on her face. She doesn't know like how to process this. Like, "Kermit Jagger?" He's like, "Yeah. My father was Mick Jagger. And he fucked a frog and I'm his offspring." And she's like, "Wow. Wow, that's amazing." He's like, "Isn't it, miss?" He's like, "Whack." Anyway, "I'm here for a loan. And can you give me one?" And she's like, "Well, I don't know. Do you have collateral?" And the frog's like, "Well," he reaches into his pocket and pulls out this little pink elephant. It's like made of crystal. Holds it up to the light and it sparkles. You can practically hear the little ding of the sparkle, which never happens in real life, strangely enough, but in every movie I've ever seen. And it's sparkling, that's the point. And he's like, "Well, I got this." And he hands it to the teller, and she's looking at it. And she's, "I don't know if I can help you out with this. I'm going to have to talk to my manager." And she goes back to the back office and talks to the manager. And she explains the situation, the conversation that she just had. And he's like, "Let me see the collateral." And she hands him the elephant, this little glass elephant. And she asks, "I don't even know what that is." The manager looks at the little object, slides the glasses down his nose. He says, It's a knick-knack, paddywhack. Give the frog alone. His old man's a rolling stone. Well, guys, I have to say, my number 9 is probably going to draw quite a bit of controversy.
Ooh.
It is one of the shittiest fucking sequels I've ever seen. Everyone says it's the sequel this franchise deserved, but this is the worst of all of these movies. It's one of the worst blockbusters. It's one of the worst. It's bad enough that Jimmy Fallon has a cameo in it.
Oh!
Jurassic World.
Shit! Well, I don't say it's controversial, because you maybe see, hearing that one from me fairly soon. Actually, that's my number 8, believe it or not. Wow.
Good minds think alike, right?
Wow.
Basically, this is one of those cases where a movie gets almost universal audience praise. Almost every person I know is lauding it. Every friend on Facebook, everyone, they're just raving on this movie. And I hear one or two bad things, but I'm like, well, so many people like it. It can't be that bad. I watched it, and I was absolutely stunned. It was one of those, never again until the 2016 presidential election was I so dumbfounded by a choice so many people made. It was, Jimmy Fallon was in a cameo where, like, the kids are eating in this little glass pod. Which,
that was a confusing part of that.
They're in a glass pod so they could be safe out in dinosaur country where I think they're going there. It's a little pod they can ride around so they can see the brontosauruses. Am I supposed to believe that this little glass sphere that the kids are riding around in would protect them from getting stomped to death?
But it doesn't. Because, like, in the movie, they get stomped out of that thing.
Yeah.
So but it's like,
am I supposed to believe that these professional designers
That's literally, like, the least dumb thing about the movie.
Well, yeah, but am I supposed to believe that these professional designers believed that a glass ball could protect kids from a dinosaur? Well,
are you also supposed to believe that, you know, after the tragedy that was, you know, what happened in, I don't know, Jurassic 1, Jurassic 2, Jurassic 3, that somehow they thought it was still a good idea to open up a island full of dinosaurs and make it a theme park?
That's I agree with that, but that goes without saying.
That I can suspend belief.
That goes without saying at this point, because that's what people should have thought when they came out with the sequel. And then, okay, it's not a... Granted, they're not... In the first couple of sequels, I think in 2 and 3, they don't rebuild a theme park.
No, they're not.
It's like they just happen... They're dealing with consequences from the original one.
Yeah, they just keep on going back to the island as if they think it's a good idea to still somehow... But Jurassic World... That film just pissed me the fuck off. I actually remember I saw it by myself, but in a sold-out theater on opening night.
Because
I was like, you know what, let's go check this out, let's see it. And I remember being like probably the only person in that audience that was completely dumb. Like, everyone was like, whoa! And like laughing. And I was like, what? This is horrible. Really was just like not fun, and literally took everything that made the original Jurassic Park great and didn't do anything with it. And I get it, sequels, they're rarely are they as good as the original, and that's not what it needed to be. Do we need a Jurassic Park sequel? No, but if you're gonna do it, at least make it fun, at least make it, you know, at least an ounce as cinematic as the first one.
Make the people worth a goddamn. I didn't like any of the people in Jurassic World. I was hoping they would all die. It's like, at least in the first one, there were some annoying people, and there were bad people, and there were good people, but they were all interesting, and I wanted to see them survive, except maybe Wayne Knight's character. But and even in the sequels, the movies sucked. 2 and 3, the movies sucked, but at least the people were interesting. Chris Pratt, that little cowboy suit he's wearing throughout the movie, he looks like he's a theme park character and not an actual person. He looks like he should be handing out candy.
I don't really mind Chris Pratt too much, but I hate it when he goes into, like, him and Ryan Reynolds have this thing for me, like, they're good-looking guys, and they actually can act. They've had some pretty good performances. But they're like, I don't, like, when they do, like, the, hey, I'm, look at me, I'm Chris Pratt, this is me doing the Chris Pratt jokey thing that I do, it's a little too, like, self-aware. That's what rubbed me wrong a little bit on repeated viewings with Deadpool. Mm-hmm. It was a little too, like...
Oh, I fucking hate Deadpool.
It was a little too, like, hey, this is a joke kind of a thing. I don't mind a little bit of that, but, like, that's one of the things, like, with Chris Pratt that I think, like...
When you're acting...
He's a much better actor when they're kind of letting go a mm-hmm. little bit on that. Personally, I agree with that. That's just...
If you're acting like you know you're being funny, the battle's lost.
Yeah.
Although it's not lost because both of those movies made millions of dollars.
Yeah. But on me, it's lost on me.
Lost on me too.
But yeah, that's a very good choice, and that's so funny because that was my number 8 choice, and I was thinking I would actually rank it a little bit higher, but ultimately there's other films that are worse than it that are on my list. But so so your number 9 Jurassic World, my number 8 Jurassic World. That means, Alan, do you have?
I got nothing.
He's got nothing. Not even
nothing.
One.
Nothing.
Yeah, have you seen Jurassic World? Do you want to chime in?
I don't even remember a scene from it.
Wow.
And I think that's what happens. Yeah. I love Jurassic Park. I don't remember a single fucking line from...
It's completely forgettable. And,
yeah.
And I remember recently after I saw it in theaters, and I remember getting so much flack for saying that I didn't like it from everyone else that I knew that had saw it. You hadn't seen it yet, but... And I thought, man, maybe I just was in a bad mood or something. And then we watched it together because I was like, okay, you watch this. Tell me I'm not wrong. And we watched it, and it was even worse the second time than I remembered. And I remember thinking, wow, people really are drinking the Kool-Aid here. This is like the Jim Jones movie of 2015 or whatever it came out.
It's appalling to me that people like... And take something like Life is Beautiful.
Yeah.
I personally didn't like it. I hated that movie.
Yeah.
But at least... I can, when I think about it, I can see why other people liked it or what they appreciated about it. I have no fucking idea with Jurassic World.
And I still have to, I mean, I'm still going to compare it to Jurassic Park 1, because you just have to, right?
Well, you can't do that, that's what everyone says.
That's what everyone will say. You can't do that, no way it'll be good. Well, I'm sorry, it has Jurassic in the title, it's a sequel, I'm going to compare it.
Comparison. Jeff Goldblum's coming back as Malcolm in Jurassic World 2.
Yeah, and the worst part is I'll probably end up seeing it, but that Colin Trevorrow is a fucking hack. And he's making the next Star Wars movie after this next one that's coming out, and I am really nervous about that. But
The Phantom Menace 2, Jar Jar on Ice.
I remember seeing Jurassic Park in theaters at Laurelhurst after I had just seen that, because I think it was popular, so Laurelhurst decided they were going to play Jurassic Park in theaters, so I went to go see it. And I remember, like, literally comparing, almost every scene in Jurassic Park is so great for some reason, whether it's just, like, the interaction of the actors, or I think of that opening scene, a scene which I always forget is in the film until the opening, like, opening starts. I'm like, oh, this part, I love it. The part where they're in like the jungle and they have the raptors. You never see the raptors except like the eye or something. Yeah. And it's like, shoot, that whole part is so great.
I love that scene.
Not even one scene in Jurassic World could come close to the greatness that is in that scene or the 20-minute stretch starting from the water trickle or the little ripple leading up to when
the T-Rex
all of that when they're rappelling down the side of it and they're waiting for that car that's gonna fly down because the T-Rex keeps on hitting it. Nothing in Jurassic World came even a centimeter close to being that fun and cinematic.
No, nothing. It's just boring. None of the characters are interesting. Jurassic World 2, that'll change because they'll have Jeff Goldblum. Because he's... Say what you want about him. Some people don't like that character, but he's Jeff Goldblum is always interesting to watch, at least.
You scientists were so preoccupied about whether they could do something that they never stopped to think about whether they should, you know?
And oh, that was pretty good.
Not bad, huh? But he's interesting, so he'll be the only good thing about Jurassic World 2, presumably. For me, the movie was a fucking wash. Jurassic Park is the only good Jurassic movie.
Well,
World is the worst.
And I still enjoy Lost World, even though I don't think it's a very good movie. And I haven't seen Jurassic Park 3 in a long time, but all I remember is Tia Leone screaming nonstop, and it was kind of annoying. Number 7, another movie with Chris Pratt. And I'm really I don't hate Chris Pratt. I kind of like the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. But this is...
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, you should, huh? Because you got number 8.
Because you're number 8. Even though I called the last one, it happened to correspond with...
Go ahead. You're number 8. You're next.
And then we could match up again.
That's cool.
I feel like a dick now. All right, number 8.
The rules we set up were broken.
I have broken the covenant.
Number 8.
Number 8. Now, to be honest, this is one of the ones that I'm going to pull an Alan Burrow on because I can't really remember that much about it. I just remember watching it and choking in revulsion. Date movie. Pretty much any movie with the word movie in it is like scary movie or... disaster movie or epic movie. I chose date movie as my worst choice.
I don't know what that is.
Good.
It was like a string of like...
You don't remember the movies?
No, I saw I think Scary Movie was actually pretty decent.
That's...
For what it was.
Maybe the first one, I haven't seen it, but there was a string of... what it spawned was fucking awful. There's not just scary movies, but disaster movie, epic movie, more than I can think of.
Yeah.
This one was a date movie, and I remember just sitting there being revolted the entire time. And to be honest, maybe it's unfair I have this on my list, because there's only one scene I remember. Do you guys remember the scene in Meet the Parents where he's over at... is it the Fockers or what's the other family?
Well, it's the Fockers, I think.
The one with De Niro, the family of the bride.
I don't remember the family name, but...
The bride's family, he's over there for the first time. He's having a dinner, and he accidentally bumps the urn of ashes off of the fireplace mantle and breaks, and there's ashes everywhere.
Yeah.
And, in this movie... Basically, the same thing happens, except when the urn breaks, it's a mummified corpse of their grandmother with a tongue sticking out. Yeah, it's all shriveled up like a raisin and everything. And she's like, oh, my grandma's remains! And the cat goes over, bites the grandma on the tongue, and starts pulling the tongue, not out of the mouth, but back and forth. I remember putting my... hand against my forehead.
Wait, that's on your worst films of all time? That sounds like comedy genius.
No, it wasn't. Maybe the way I'm describing it makes it sound...
That sounds hilarious.
It was not hilarious.
I've never seen stupid. Date Movie. I have seen Epic Movie. That was a pretty bad movie. I do remember that being. Somehow it doesn't make it on my list.
God damn
it. But, let me tell you, this is funny. It's a great segue to the next one on my list. Because it does have movie in the title. And you were saying how movies with the movie in the title are bad. Movie 43.
Oh, I never saw that. I saw one clip, one segment. It's Movie 43 is... I hate to make this comparison, but in a way it's not as good anywhere in the fucking same galaxy, but structurally it's similar to Creepshow, where it's like a vignette... of several shorts put together. It's an anthology film. And I've seen one of the
anthology. I actually sat through the whole entire thing simply because I was very curious to see why the hell these great actors.
Was it Kate Winslet in it?
Dude, like, Kate Winslet, Chris Pratt, who else is in it? Dennis Quaid, Richard Gere. I feel like Julia Roberts is in one too. Like, Anna Faris. Like, there's some, like, pretty decent actors in this movie. And I remember, like, it was all set around Dennis Quaid was this character that was trying to pitch a movie. I think, if I remember correctly, he took, like, some movie execs hostage and was, like, coming up with a movie idea to pitch them or something. I kind of forget, but it was Dennis Quaid. It was all, the vignettes were framed around Dennis Quaid's ideas. And the only one I can remember off the top of my head was, like, the one with Chris Pratt and Anna Faris.
Where, I remember that.
Like,
that's the only one ever that I saw.
Where, like, she wanted him to take a dump on her chest or something, and, like, he couldn't do it. Like, he was like, oh, baby, I'll do it for you. And then, like, he, like, tried to do it, but he's like, oh, I don't want to do it. She's like, no, do it. Poop on my chest. And he's like, no, I can't. And then, like, the last part of the film is just, like, him just shitting.
I remember what happens.
What happened?
One of the things I thought was, it was, the whole plot was fucking stupid, or how Ben described it, but it's even stupider than that. He's talking to his friends about it. He's like, ooh, she wants you to poop on her chest. He's like, yeah, I can't believe she wants me to shit on her chest. No, 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 never say that. Never say shit. She wants you to poop on her chest. And then, like, later in the movie, like, she's talking to him, why won't you poop on my chest? Like, I don't want to shit on your chest. And she gets just, like, really upset, like, and she runs away.
This is off my list. That's pretty shit.
And as she's running away, he's chasing her.
Yes.
And as he's chasing her, a car comes and hits him.
Yeah.
And he explodes nothing but shit.
Because he had, like, taken a whole bunch of, and he hadn't shit for days or something because he was trying to gear up for the fact that, like, he could just do it automatically. And, yeah, the car hits him and he just shits everywhere. And she's like, oh, babe. And they, like, fall in each other's arms and they're actually dating in real life, which is pretty funny. But, yeah, movie 43. That's number 7 for me.
Wow. If I had seen the whole thing, that would have been on my list. I guarantee it. But the ones where I've only seen clips, I decided consciously to leave off.
Yeah.
Got any ones, Alan?
How about Pompeii? You ever see that?
I've heard of it.
Jon Snow.
I actually didn't know who was in it, but I know it was.
Was it that super CGI'd ones?
I can't even speak about it. I mean, but I remember that I was just amazed at how bad it was.
And I think, like, I feel like a movie done right about Pompeii would be actually pretty, pretty crazy and epic. But, like,
I probably just tried to overdo it.
I remember, like, seeing a trailer for it.
Did they do, like, wasn't it the guy that made that Hercules movie? That made that?
Brett Ratner?
Was it Brett Ratner?
No, I don't think so. But Brett Ratner made the Hercules movie, I think.
Okay, it looks like something that he would have made.
I feel kind of bad saying it without being able to back it up, but I just remember that it was, I don't know.
You know, there's actually a Pompeii exhibit right now at OMSI.
Yeah.
And they actually used, like, they have, like, God, casts made from the actual body casts from Pompeii. That's what I had heard. Obviously, they probably can't travel those. That sounds like an exhibit that would be pretty interesting, personally.
Yeah.
I'd go see that in a heartbeat if I had to.
One of my favorite things to do with Pompeii are Pink Floyd Live at Pompeii. It's a really good concert they do, and there's, like,
I'm burning to death!
There's, like, no one there, and it's just them playing at Pompeii.
Wow.
In, like, the mid-70s. And actually, recently, the guitarist for Pink Floyd did a, like, a a concert where they let them go back there, and they boated a whole bunch of people to Pompeii and set up his live show, and he did a concert there in the actual like Colosseum of Pompeii.
Wow.
Which is pretty amazing, because I think it's like an island.
It's pretty crazy.
I'm pretty sure Pompeii's on an island, but...
the actual modern city was built over it, and they have to access it through tunnels, I think, to get...
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure.
...to the ancient site. So that was your number seven? Or that was...
Movie 43 was my number seven.
All right.
Yeah, that was just...
Oh, that was Alan's. That was Alan. Ah, God, I'm losing track. So that was one of Alan's. Shit. My number seven? Mm-hmm. Deuce Bigalow, European Gigolo. There is a woman...
I know exactly what he's going to
do. ...in the movie who has a penis for a nose that she hides with this, like, I Dream of Jeannie shroud. This, like...
She's from Chernobyl.
And every time she sneezes... She ejaculates in Rob Schneider's face. Need I say more? Do I have to further explain why that's on my list? I don't know,
that kind of sounds like what Adam Sandler does.
Do I have to further explain that? No. Like, do I really?
No, I think that's good enough. That's funny, because Deuce Bigalow, the first one, is probably one of my favorite comedies of all time. And I will defend that to the death. That is like, that movie is like a warm blanket movie to me. I will put on the original Deuce Bigalow. I get a kick out of that.
Sequel, what do you think of the sequel?
Horrible. Sequel is one of the worst things I've ever seen. Original has one of my favorite quotes of all time. One time, I dropped a cigar ash on Anton's rug. He made me pick it up with my anus. Although my delivery is not as good as Eddie Griffin's, but...
I heard Eddie Griffin was nominated for an Oscar.
This is Heavy Set.